The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, from the New Revised Standard Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from you, from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. I have heard professional speakers say that if you want your audience to hear what you have to say it three times. You tell them what you're going to say, then you say it, and then you tell them what you said. In PR and marketing, they say that to get a message across, you have to say it in at least 7 different ways. In the 8 little verses that Sharon just read from the Gospel of John, Jesus uses the word abide 8 times and the phrase bear fruit 6 times. So I'm just going to make a wild guess that abiding and fruit bearing are the message that Jesus wants to get across to his disciples. This message was especially important because this was Jesus' farewell speech. He was preparing his disciples, his closest followers, for a future when he would no longer be physically present with them. So, abiding and fruit bearing. Commentator Caroline Lewis says that when Jesus describes abiding, it is deeply relational. It's a two-way street. We abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in us as we are together. Jesus and his followers are dependent and interdependent. They are woven, interwoven like the branches of a vine. So picture, if you will, a dense mass of branches that are all intertwining. When Jesus says, abide in me, it is not a particularly active verb. To abide is to stay, to be with, to hang out, to linger near. When our boys were small, we lived for nearly 4 years in Washington, D.C., about 25 minutes from Kip's parents. We visited them pretty often. We'd go for a meal or an afternoon swim or some event, but we rarely stayed overnight. My parents, on the other hand, lived several hours away, so when we visited them, we stayed a few days or a week. We abided with my parents. And at some point, I realized that we were missing something with Kip's mom and dad. Because when you stay several days, you get to be a part of ordinary life. You're there long enough to run out of conversation and to just be with one another. Jesus said, abide in me. Dwell with me. Give me some downtime when we are just together in companionable quiet. Years ago, a clergy friend of mine told a story about house sitting for friends who had a golden retriever. The dog was young and had a lot of energy and needed to be exercised every day. So my friend David would go out in the backyard with a ball and throw it over and over and over. The dog would chase the ball down, bring it back, drop it at David's feet, and take off again, anxious to chase one more time. After a while, David said he wished that the dog would just sit at his feet and let him pat his head. And it dawned on David that that might be how God feels about us. It's as if David could hear God saying, stop racing around, David, and just sit here quietly. Be with me. No agenda, nothing to get done, nothing to be discussed or decided. Just be. Abide and let me love you. What does it look like to abide with God? Well, worship can be abiding with God. So can prayer and reading scripture or other sacred writings. But even those things can sometimes turn into just more doing. Abiding with God is a quality of life, keeping an ear tuned and heart attentive. It helps to practice abiding in quiet moments, but we can sustain that attentive presence even when we are doing other things. This past Friday morning, Carol Murphy shared the devotional for the Centering Prayer Group, and she read this poem by Mary Oliver called "I Happen to Be Standing." I don't know where prayers go or what they do. Do cats pray while they sleep, half asleep in the sun? Does the opossum pray as it crosses the street? The sunflowers, the old black oak growing older every year. I know I can walk through the world along the shore or under the trees with my mind filled with things of little importance in full self-attendance. A condition I can't really call being alive. Is a prayer a gift or a petition, or does it matter? The sunflowers blaze. Maybe that's their way. Maybe the cats are sound asleep. Maybe not. While I was thinking this, I happened to be standing just outside my door with my notebook open, which is the way I begin every morning. Then a wren in the privet began to sing. He was positively drenched in enthusiasm. I don't know why, and yet, why not? I wouldn't persuade you from whatever you believe or whatever you don't, that's your business, but I thought of the wren's singing. What could this be if it isn't a prayer? So I just listened, my pen in the air. End of quote. Perhaps we abide with God by just standing and taking in the beauty of a bird song or a morning breeze, or the smell of coffee, or the sound of a lawnmower. When I Google searched for Mary Oliver's poem, I came across a website by Anna Waters called Home Song. And in it, she wrote this introduction to Oliver's poem. I've been thinking a lot about prayers lately, about how to do it, where they go, and what they look like. I've been praying about praying, too. Is a prayer asking for help? Is it giving thanks? Is it saying, wow? Is a prayer a second or a mile? A blade of grass or a field of sunflowers? Is it a whimper, a cry, a song, or a siren? A rainbow after the storm or the dark clouds before it? Ever since I've started praying about praying, lessons about prayers have been coming my way. I think this too is a prayer and God's clever way of answering all that I'm lifting up by whispering, "Go ahead, dear one. I'm listening." I wonder if you can hear God saying, "Go ahead, dear one. I'm listening." There is another aspect of abiding with Jesus that we might overlook. There are a number of translations that substitute the word remain for the word abide. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. What the word remain suggests to me is that we are already connected to God. It's our natural condition, the way we are born. We don't have to begin a connection with God. We just have to remain. So let me say just a little something about bearing fruit. I wonder if you can picture an arbor or a trellis covered in vines. There are dozens and dozens of smaller branches, all intertwining, all connected to the main branch. When Jesus tells his disciples to abide, he's speaking to them as a group. When he says, abide in me, he's saying, you all do this together. He's describing a community interwoven and interconnected. That's what the Christian life is actually about. Not just you abiding in Jesus in your separate world and me abiding in Jesus in mine. The Christian life is all of us connected to Jesus and interwoven with one another. That is actually the best way to bear fruit. A community has the potential to be so much more fruitful than any one individual alone. I want to give you just one example. Michael Brown has been collecting money for the Esther Project in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The Esther Project is a comprehensive 9-month program with reading, writing, religion, health, and sewing instruction for women. The hope was to provide a sewing machine to each of 45 students upon their graduation at the cost of $120 per machine. Now that's a fair amount of money. And I have to confess that sometimes when I see a need like that, I think, how is that ever going to happen? But it happened. Checks came in, some of them for $5 or $10, some more. The outreach committee got involved, and people far beyond Central New York, because remember, our community has extended to a lot of people since we've been live streaming. All 45 women are going to receive a sewing machine. That's what it looks like to bear much fruit. Bearing fruit is pooling our resources, our time, our talent, our prayers, and together showing God's love for the world. What is too much for one person to do alone is possible for a community that is connected at the heart level to Jesus and to one another. So I'm going to invite you for a moment to, while Kip plays some music, just be, abide, and reflect on your own connection with Jesus. Maybe hear him saying, go ahead, dear one, I'm listening. Let him fill your heart to overflowing until you have more than enough to share with the world. And together, we will see where God leads us and the love that God has for us to share. Amen.
Wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.